Thanks, Mickey. Appreciate you doing this.
It looks like you've had a fantastic busy year. This band looks fantastic. I was wondering, what's a little bit of some of the impetus for getting this particular band together?
Well, it started innocently enough. Bill and I were asked to host the Jammies, and we thought that while we were in New York, might as well play. And Kim Mock was going to be there, and Mike Gordon was going to be there, and Angelique Kidjo, and Baba Mal, and Charlie Musselwhite. So we just called all the troops together, and we played a little club, and it was very successful. Kids loved it, and then we played the Jammies. They loved it. So Bill and I just looked at each other and said, "You want to do it again?" Yeah, let's do it. So we went on a 4-day run about a month and a half ago. That went even better. And then we decided to do this this tour. And that's kind of how it all, that was the genesis of it all.
Fantastic. How's it being back with your old pal Bill sharing the stage again?
Never left. We were always partners, it's just that we had, a couple of years not playing together, but we always see each other and hang out.
Yeah.
We're always social and we're best of friends, so. Yeah, it's really good to play again, for sure.
Nice. At first when I heard the Rhythm Devils name, I thought maybe you guys would be doing a little bit of the drums segment. I think people may have even expected that.
Yeah, we do every night, we do a bit of drums.
Yeah,
we do a little bit, but this isn't that Rhythm Devils.
Okay.
This is Bill and I are the Rhythm Devils, and we're expanded now into the song form or some resemblance of it. And Hunter's written us it's about 11 songs now, and so we're playing, these marvelous tunes with Hunter's words. That's really the bedrock of this repertoire.
That's really great to hear. It seems like you've had quite a relationship with Hunter, working at some other projects. What's that relationship like with you and Hunter when you approach songwriting?
Well, it's taken a long time to really to get it as smooth as it is now. That's the thing with Hunter. It's an ongoing process, and it's always a work in progress. And Hunter is at his peak, I think, now. And I usually give him tunes or some skeletal version of them, and he sends me back the words, and then we tweak them. We cut and paste a little bit, and if I need a little bit of this, a little bit of that, we work by email and by this is the
digital age.
Yeah, the digital age. That's what we're working now. Is we work great, and. We have a site where he goes and hears what I'm doing, and he stays current on it, and I hear what he's doing, and he sends me, sometimes daily, updates on the words and so forth. I mean, every morning I can't wait to get up and look on my computer to see what,
see
what Hunter has dreamed up overnight. Night. Hunter has pulled himself away and isolated himself for this project. So he has
to focus on writing.
Just focus on writing, and so that really is meaningful, because he's alone in his cabin and his home, and he's just, this is part of, he says this is part of his daily routine now, writing for the Rhythm Devils. It's different than just a casual writing experience. I mean, every day he goes out, kayaks, and works out, and writes these tunes, and works on them and thinks about them. And when you isolate yourself, you can really, really focus. That's how we used to do it, I mean, Hunter
used to
live together, and Hunter used to be there at rehearsals. And as we were coming up with stuff, he would come up with stuff. So it's kind of the same kind of spirit, but he's writing a little bit differently now.
not so much in the verse, chorus, bridge, you know, in a normal song form, because this band is not quite like that.
Is it, I would imagine it has a lot to do with the percussion. Is it based
it's
on rhythms of the percussion?
It's very rhythmic. Yeah, his writing is rhythm because he follows the rhythm really carefully. And so what I give him is kind of leads him into a certain rhythmic space. And it works really well for this band.
I think, was the first writing project you had with Hunter, the band in Mystery Box?
Mystery Box, that was the year that Jerry died. It was in 95. And, I mean, Jerry kind of died right in the middle of that one.
Oh, you had started the, while
yeah,
he was still alive?
Yeah, I had already started, yeah. Actually, that's what kind of gave me some kind of solace during my grief was I just went right deep back into the studio and finished Mystery Box and stayed with it, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. That period for you, what was that like, you know, when after, you know, Jerry's passing and there was a period of time, I think, when the members kind of stayed silent for a little bit. But then really in 96, you came and exploded onto the scene with Mystery Box.
Yeah.
You know, what was that time like for you to
Well,
kind
music
of...
is the salvation for me, you know. I mean, that's, it's everything. And without the music, you know, it would have been really hard to make it through in one piece. You know, and I thought a lot about Jerry. Of course, he was in my heart, in my mind, in my ear. And I know that he would want me to stay with the music and not just sit and move around, you know. And so that's what I did. And it really served me well. The music came through, as always, you know, when you put your heart and soul into it. You know, it's a balm, you know. It's a B-A-L-M.
Yes,
it's not a balm.
Healing. The healing balm.
Yeah, and... it kind of greases the skids, and it was very painful, very sad for me. I mean, but
did you channel it into Mr.
Oh, absolutely.
Mystery Box?
Oh, of course. I mean, it made me even try. I try to focus as hard as I can on music because that's the only way I could get, you know, and understand this everything. You know, and we're grateful that it was busted apart. It was ripped away from us at that time. And then we decided to reform again and play the music again. We realized that this is not the end of this, you know. This should be the end.
Further Fest followed shortly.
Yeah, we
did
the Further Fest, you know, and it was a very joyful experience. That first one was really very joyful, getting together with Bob and again and kicking it around. And
friend Bruce was
on
board there.
Phil came into the fold and then Billy back, you know, and we had some really good shows.
How was this year's a few milestones?
You're on the bus.
This year seems some milestones have arrived with the transfer of the vault over to Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
What were your feelings around that? Kind of the closing
It was really a wonderful thing because we weren't prepared to do the business anymore. We didn't really want to do it. It wasn't, you know, it was kind of an albatross around our neck, you know.
We figured that if we got the business out of the way, that maybe we could become friends again, you know. And that Grateful Dead was really built on, hold on a minute, Chris, will you?
Yeah.
Grateful Dead was really built up around personal relationships. You know, and the love of each other and the trust. And the business, we were having disagreements every which way with the business. And that was very obvious. So we figured if we jettisoned the business and give it to somebody who could care for it, really right. Because none of us wanted to go to the board meetings, you know. And really run a major corporation.
Right.
You know, and we didn't want it to go to seed. The smartest thing was to give it to somebody responsible. In this case, it was Warner Brothers, because these guys were actually the... And I went to see them. I actually went down there and talked to them. And these guys were the fans. They were our fans. And now they run the company, you know. And they really understood who the Grateful Dead was. And I knew they wouldn't ruin it. You know, I knew they wouldn't trash it. As long as we kept creative control over it.
And that's definitely part of the deal?
Oh, of course.
without that, it would be no deal. You know, we wouldn't give our life's work away. And we just leased it to them.
Okay.
It's not, we didn't sell it to them. They're just running it. And we're advising them. And, we, you know, they ask us if we want to do this. We say yes. We say no. And it's a working relationship. So with the hope that we could come back together again as friends, and then maybe someday play. I mean, that's my hope.
Fantastic. With some other milestones, maybe some sad passing of some key family members this year. Hamza Al-Din, Ramrod, Vince. What was that like? It's kind of a heavy year for
football. Yeah, it wasn't the best of years, you know, as far as that goes, you know. But we, like Ramrod said, you know, he said, scatter the ashes and turn the page. You know, that's what he said. He said that to me and Bob. And that's what we did, you know, and that's what we're doing. And he had it right. So we keep on going. But there's a need for this kind of spirit. And I always believe that that's what the Grateful Dead was all about. It was kind of more like a spirit. It wasn't so much of a band. It was a band, of course, but it was the energy that it created and allowed for this community to gather and to rejoice and, you know, in that kind of freedom.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people would feel now more than ever that spirit is necessary. What you've been known for some of your social activism and getting involved with politics and support. I mean, what are your thoughts on, you know, where this world is kind of headed in the state of affairs right now and kind of the role in music that could help shape that situation that we have?
I think that it's really important that people get together in peace and talk about their issues, whether they be on the right or the left or the center or whatever it is. I mean, aggression and hate, these are bad rhythms. They only will lead to worse rhythms. They can't lead to good rhythms. And you can't kill everybody, you know, all the people you don't disagree with. I mean, you disagree with. You can't kill them. You can't. I mean, you have to mediate something. Music is a great way to mediate a situation. It's very rare that you could hate somebody after you play music with them or to them or share a musical experience. There's something about the vibratory nature of music that makes people resonate with each other. Now, they'll still have their fears, and their hopes will still be there, their dreams, and all those consequences will be there, but somehow in the presence of music, you can kind of understand and have a little more compassion for someone's problems, not only your own, but the other people. I've always thought that, I know it might be a utopian thought, but if the United Nations, the Security Council, played drums together, you know, and everybody was in rhythm, at least for a common good, they might find that, you know, they're not so different, you know, and maybe that feeling would permeate and have some kind of resolution in some of these very difficult issues. I mean, the world's on fire.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's burning all over the place. And we're losing our civil liberties. The planet is in danger. You know, people are building weapons to kill each other. It's a very serious, business here, you know, and it has an administration that's out of control. Mr. Bush is, in my estimation, he's not a CEO. He's not a chief executive. Can't be for a country, you know. And I mean, he might be a nice hang, you know. But I don't really think that he's the best person for the job. Let's put it that way. Matter of fact. You know, it's got to change, or else we're going to lose everything. I mean, we're at the end of the rope here. We're at the end of the chain.
I want to throw this one out there too, just about to pontificate on the cosmos. There's been a school of thought that thinks, back even like the 60s, there was a great activation period that we're coming upon the year 2012, where there's a lot of talk of the Mayan calendar coming to a point, and there's been some other psychedelic folks out there had
I've heard some theories
about Terrence.
They're all theories.
Yeah, all theories
about
they
might be
consciousness
right, and they might not be right.
The Earth kind of getting to a point.
But you got to do something now.
You got to do something now.
Not in, by 12, you know.
Yeah, no, I
you got to do it now. I spoke to Al Gore a couple of months ago, and, he's just wondering, why aren't we doing it? Why isn't the administration doing it now? You know, I mean, we can't wait till the children have it, you know. We got to do it now, or we won't have anything to do. So it's become that kind of an urgent situation. Like, I believe global warming is, one of the most serious issues we're facing. I mean, if we don't have a planet, we can't even kill each other. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so, or make nice, or whatever, you know. So that's a serious problem. It's all serious.
It's all serious.
But you gotta love, you gotta have the love, you gotta have the determination to make it right, you gotta go out and vote, you gotta make a difference, you gotta change it. You got to change it. People can't have apathy. They have to get out. And there was a guy, what's his name, Scoop Misker. He's a San Francisco guy, very funny guy. He said, "You don't like the news, go out and make some of your own." Anyway, I thought that was, and that's really what it's about. You got to make some news of your own. That's why Bill and I are out here. We're trying to make a better world in our way. I mean, we're rhythmists, and we know that we're tied into the rhythmic origin of the universe. I mean, that's where we came from, and that's what we're resonating with. We know, as brothers of the groove, that we have a very powerful message, and we're bringing it to as many people who would listen, because that's how we're screaming. We're saying, "Hey, man, this is not just about entertainment, This is, but getting in the trance, you find your priorities change. It's like the Iliada would call it, orophony. There's a moment where your priorities, you cross a line and you move into the, some people call it the sacred dimension, or the zone. Some place of meaning, of great personal and group meaning. And when you have the groove, and you have people around you that are like-minded, it becomes very powerful when you have group mind. We've been getting group mind, and that's really what it's all about. It's not about the music. It's not even about drums or drumming.
Achieving group mind.
Yeah, it's about group mind, and it's about that feeling that you get when you play together and what you do with that energy after the music stops. It's not about a concert. It's about that energy, that power you raise, and how that manifests in your world and other people's world, and what you do with it. Or else it's just a gig. And Grateful Dead was never meant for that, and we kind of got used to that. Bill and I certainly has, and I know Phil and Bob, share that sentiment. And
did you feel that really towards the 90s decade, or was it, a lot of some other members have said towards that end there that it was really difficult?
Pardon me?
As some of the other band members have talked about how difficult it was in the end, that it was really kind of locked into some parameters.
As Jerry was fading, the music was fading and all of our spirits were going down because, watching your best friend die in front of you night after night slowly is not a pretty sight, and there was nothing we could do to save him. I mean, it was like a death wish for him, he didn't want to die, but he would eat those burgers and drink that milkshake and laugh and smile. And I didn't smile back. It was not funny. To him, he was making light out of a very serious situation. And, I rode in the van with him every day. We always went, me and him went early. It was like our private time together, and you know, we talk about stuff that matters sometimes, and he kind of felt helpless at the end. You know, he was overwhelmed by his situation, and his failing health, and you know, and his drug problems. So he got swamped by it, and he just wouldn't. He wouldn't listen to his brothers, and of course it saddened all of us to no end, and it made the music suffer, and nothing we could do to save it, so it kind of...
How about when you and Bill had the stage doing drums, did you feel, you know, there was any, you know, during that segment of the show that there was anything...
I always thought that was very uplifting, not always, but when we were on, it was very uplifting, but, you know, it's part of a larger... You know, Grateful Dead was bigger than us, you know, so it wasn't just like drums. We were trying to channel something, you know, we were trying to find the rhythm of the day, you know, and the feeling of the day, and make something, create something of great beauty that was an original thing. It wasn't like the songs. We never really talked about it, we never composed.
You just every night take it off the top?
And that was the thing that we always agreed from the beginning, is that we never work this out, because then it won't be real. It will be some head trip, you know. And so the song started becoming a head trip. Even our jams became a head trip. And we knew what we were jamming, and that was wrong. You shouldn't know. You shouldn't be aware of the jam. You should just go. It should take you. It should play you. This band, it has that kind of spirit now, because every new band has that. It's not, you know, it's not something that's totally unique to this band, but when bands are new and they're enthused, they have new material, we got fresh meat, and the players are fresh,
solid players,
and we don't have any kind of history, you know, of together, bad or good, mostly. They're mostly strangers to us, you know, not total strangers, but you know, when you know somebody 40 years, that's a difference between 30 years, whatever, than someone you just have played a dozen gigs with. Remember, thousands of gigs. And so, but that also bonds you, you know. I'll always love and support, be the best friend of Bob, Bill, Phil, no matter what they think of me, or whatever happens, we're tied at the heart. There's no separating us, you know, when it comes right down to it. You know, we might not ever play together, but I wish we would, but that still won't stand in the way of love. Rick Phil was my best friend, you know. I mean, when I joined the Grateful Dead, me and him were the closest. We worked on the other one countless hours, sitting on the floor, writing stuff out, talking about fours over fives, over threes, and you know, and doing stuff that we both had never done before. I don't think anybody has ever done. And we felt very, very close. And we still email, and whenever we see each other, it's always a happy experience. I always love to see you smile. Just hope someday we can get together and play again.
Well, you've got a great band now, and the fans are all looking forward to hearing what Rhythm Devils has to offer and develops. And,
it's a work in progress, that's for sure.
And that's great that you've got you'll be able to develop that sound and peek it off. What at Vegas this
yeah.
later this month.
Yeah.
Any new exciting projects beyond?
Planet Drum. We just finished a beautiful
right.
Planet Drum tour. That was
an anniversary?
Yeah, 15 years. So Zakir Hussain and Sikidu was in this band. And Giovanni Hidalgo and myself, we soared. It was transcendent. You know, it felt like we were in the right place at the right time, doing exactly what we wanted to do. The groove was right. We owned it, you know.
Fantastic. Aerto joined you too?
Aerto joined us for a couple of shows, and hopefully we'll do this thing in... we're planning to do it again next year, just like the Rhythm Devils.
Fantastic.
I mean, this is really full of energy and passion, you know, and love. So when you got those things, and then you got Bob Hunter, you know, then,
something special.
Then that's the ball game, man. You know, I mean, Hunter is just writing out of his head, you know, just glorious words, full of, you know, the spirit and the meaning of what, you know, what I'd like to be about.
Thank you, Mickey. Thank you for sharing this for the Phil Zone. We all thank you, and I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
And best of luck, and I look forward to the show tonight.